Hello and welcome to the 37th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I run the website poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. We've got some big news. If you follow my wife and I on Facebook or Twitter, or you probably already know, but we are having a second baby. We've actually known for the past 3 months, but we wanted to hold back on letting everybody know just to make sure, you know, everything was working out well. And we are glad to say that they are. The new baby, we don't know if it's a boy or girl yet. We will find out when we can. We're just not there yet. Is going to be born in late May or early June, which will put him or her pretty close to Lucy's birthday. And we're just really excited. Like with Lucy, we are using a midwives. I believe they're called River and Mountain Midwives, located at least partially in New Paltz, New York. When we got pregnant the first time, my wife brought up the idea of using a midwife. And to be honest, I hadn't really ever thought of it. As far as I knew, when you had a baby, you go to the doctor, you go to a hospital, and you give birth. But since my wife was born in a midwife delivery unit in the hospital where she's from, she had that kind of idea in her head. And the more we talked about it, the more it seemed to really make a lot of sense. Because basically the idea behind midwifery, which I think is a funny word, is that the human body knows how to give birth. And so if it's something you're interested in, you can just kind of learn about that, go with the midwives, and assuming that everything is like right on track and normal and average and all that kind of stuff, you've got no problem delivering naturally. But the midwives are trained, of course, if something happens, you know, you go to the hospital, or if there's a pre-existing condition, they'll kind of change the plan to work in with a hospital. It's a little tricky, I guess, around here because they don't have birthing centers in the hospitals near us. It's a weird thing in New York, or at least this county or this area, which is unfortunate. Because, you know, we learned a lot about this stuff, and I don't want to, like, completely dump on hospital births. That's not my intention. But one of the things that we kind of learned and talked about is that, you know, in a hospital, they might make you, like, stay on your back, but that's not necessarily the best position to be in while giving birth. You might need to stand or walk around. And, I mean, every hospital is different. Like I said, I'm not trying to, like, damn hospital births because I'm pretty sure that's how I was born and how a lot of people are born. But it's just kind of neat to know the options and that there are other ways to go about it. So we had our second midwife appointment last week on Thursday, and we actually got to hear the baby's heartbeat. The first time we went, you couldn't really hear it. You can actually hear the placenta, and it sounds like a heartbeat, but it's not. The baby's kind of underneath that, you know, coming from the belly down. But it had gotten big enough by our last appointment that we could actually hear the heartbeat. Lucy was with us, and I actually got a little video, I might put it up online, of recording her while the sound goes, and you can kind of hear it. And then I'm like, oh, that's it, Luz, that's the baby. And it's kind of funny because she doesn't really know what she's hearing, which makes sense. We've been telling Lucy about it from the very beginning and trying to get her prepped for it. I don't really think she can fully comprehend what's going to happen because, I mean, I couldn't comprehend what it meant to be a father, so I'm sure she couldn't comprehend what it means to be a sister. But I think she's kind of getting the idea that, you know, there's a little baby in mommy's tummy, and in several months she's going to be a big sister, and she seems to like that idea. Of course, you know, when it comes to actually having the kid around and occupying some of our time, I'm not quite sure how she'll handle it. But I mean, that's just kind of part of the whole thing, I guess, right? So, you know, like I said, we've known for 3 months. That's one of the reasons why some of the episodes have been kind of short lately, is because, like, I really wanted to talk about it, and that's really what's been on my mind mostly for the past 3 months, and then things related to that, but it just didn't really work out. We didn't want to get too ahead of ourselves because, you know, things can happen, and we've had some friends that have had run into some problems, so we just really wanted to kind of wait a little bit and make sure everything was going ahead the right way. And plus, you know, Hearing the heartbeat really is like a major signifier that, you know, this is happening. Even though, you know, you can tell the test was positive, you know, all that kind of stuff. But still, you just kind of want to hear that little extra bit of, you know, yep, we're doing this. So as far as everything goes in the house, we're pretty much set. I mean, even if it's a boy, we've got enough to get through for a while as far as clothes and especially furniture and all that kind of stuff. But one of the main reasons that we really kicked into gear this house hunt that I mentioned in last week's episode is because we want, you know, the more space. And the sooner we could get into a new house, the better, especially with the birth impending. Although we had no problem giving birth here the first time because Em just did it in the bathroom. That just seemed to be the place she wanted to be, and that worked out. But it never hurts to have a little bit more space. On the topic of the house, you know, I was really enthusiastic about it last time. I'd really started to picture us in that house and picture, you know, the kids running around in the backyard and sharing a room and all this kind of stuff. But we hit kind of a hitch. I can't remember exactly what I said on the last episode, but we were going to have our realtor come over and we were going to put in a lowball offer because we figured that the bank just wanted to get rid of this house. And we knew that we were going to have to put several thousands of dollars worth of renovations into this thing. And so we were hoping we could go in low with an official offer with the caveat that we would need to get an inspection and have a contractor come out just to evaluate and give us an estimate on what it would cost to do the things that we wanted to do to the house. Because, you know, if we could get it for our number, but the reno was going to cost like $50,000, $60,000, then it wasn't going to make any sense. We just don't know what the numbers are. We know what the house costs. We know what we can afford for the house. But then if we want to do this addition, we need to know how much that's going to run us. And really, we don't know what those numbers are because even though my dad's in the building industry, you know, things are different out here. Things are more expensive. We're just not sure kind of what it would all entail. Plus, it would rely on an inspection to kind of let us know what's, if the foundation's right and all this kind of stuff. But our realtor talked to the bank's realtor, and they said that basically that they were not going to take the lowball offer that we had and that they had turned down offers that were much closer to the asking price. And so we kind of fell back a little bit. And I got to say, man, I was really bummed out because, you know, I said in the last episode, I was trying not to get too invested, but it's almost impossible for me not to. Like, if I'm going to get into something like this, I really, you know, it all just kind of happens. I don't usually get excited about things until they're about to happen. But in this case, you know, I was really getting excited. I was looking into design elements and figuring out what to do with certain things and how it could all work out. Because the problem with the place as it is that the living room and the kitchen are small. So the idea was that we were going to kind of extend outwards, and then that would also extend the bedroom above that area, which would be our bedroom. And then there was another bedroom upstairs, which we were thinking about having the kids stay in together for a while until, you know, they got older and needed two separate rooms. And then there's two rooms downstairs, which was going to be an office for me, and then a playroom, and then later an actual room. There's also a basement downstairs that also includes the garage, and we're kind of thinking of different ways to kind of redo that a little bit to give us a little bit more storage space. But, you know, we kind of fell back. We're waiting on it now. The number that they said that they'd turned down already was pretty close to what they're asking for. I think that number was turned down when the house was a higher price, though, not now. So basically what we're going to do is kind of lay back a little bit in the cut and kind of look, keep an eye on it and see what happens. I was really bummed out that day. I was really, really sad because everything was going really well. I recorded that podcast. I was so excited. And then we kind of got this. And I, you know, what I realized was that I got way too invested in like the first number that our realtor suggested, because it was so low that it really gave us a lot of room to work with as far as what our projected budget for buying a house was. And I shouldn't have gotten so invested in that number because, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere. And the house is worth more than that as far as I know. But we do need to kind of get the idea of what the renovations are going to cost and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to kind of hold back and see. But it was a pretty big bummer. You know, my parents called me, you know, they wanted to check and see if I was doing all right. And, you know, I mean, there's not much you can do at that point. You just got to be bummed out and kind of deal with it. But then a couple days later, you know, we went to the midwives and heard the heartbeat, and that definitely helped. But at the same time, that also adds some additional pressure because this is a relatively small space, and I am looking to get into a bigger space, not just for the kids, but also for myself. I've mentioned this a couple times on different episodes, but it's really starting to feel kind of claustrophobic in here, and it doesn't help that I'm still having problems with my car. I drove Monday and Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, and then the house thing happened, and I didn't feel like leaving, and by the weekend, my car wasn't working. I tried it Friday, and it was fine, and so I figured it would be good on Saturday. On Saturday, Em took Lucy to her music class, and at first, I was thinking that I was going to go down to a town called Suffern and see Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen at this little theater called the Lafayette. But then I had a lot of other things that I figured I would be better use for my time. And so what I was going to do was I was going to run some errands in Cornwall, and I was going to go to the coffee shop, and I was going to try and knock out like a bunch of photo diaries that I'm behind on and do a little bit of work and turn that in, just kind of get a jump on the week a little bit, and also just take care of all these things that I had to get done. Of course, I had this big plan. I had all my stuff packed up. I walk out to the car. Car doesn't start. So that was a bummer again. But that also kind of leads to my claustrophobia. Because even though I'm not really going out that much, I like to know that I can go out. And at this point, I really can't rely on my car. What I'm going to have to do is basically just unhook my battery switch every single time that I leave the car. Because what we discovered when, you know, my dad and I were out looking at it is that the negative charge when it goes around the terminal on the battery sparks a little bit. It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't hurt you. You don't get shocked. But what that tells you is that something in the car is drawing power from the battery all the time. Even if nothing's on, I made sure all of my lights were off, overhead, all this stuff. And what my dad's mechanic told him was basically, you know, if a screw is touching a wire in the right place, that's sending a signal through the system that it needs electricity, and then it draws from the battery. So if you leave your car like I do for a couple of days and don't drive it, it's going to go dead. So I'm so sick of this thing. I pull the battery out again. I charge it over the weekend. And I'm just going to have to unhook it every single time that I use it. I'm probably just going to do the negative terminal because I know that one's the problem. And just, you know, see if that works. It's such a pain because these are problems that can take forever to fix. And I don't know if you can really sell a car like this that you know is all crappy. And by doing this podcast, I'm admitting publicly that it's crappy, and I've done it on Twitter and elsewhere. So, you know, I can't really deny that I know that it's a problem. But I'm just so sick of this car. I want to trade it in for like a moped with two car seats in the back that I can just drive around. But anyway, this is all going back to the kind of claustrophobia that I'm feeling in the house, and then how that relates to the new kid, because, you know, there's going to be a new kiddo here, and while they're small for a while, we're going to start accumulating more things. We're going to have to bring in things that are in the storage unit now, and everything's just going to get more cluttered. And it makes me very anxious to think about that, because as it is right now, it's pretty cluttered in here to begin with all the toys and everything. I don't know. I mean, we can definitely make it work, especially because with Lucy, she slept right next to our bed in a little cradle thing for months. So it's not really going to take up that much more space to have another kid. You know, we've got one of those big swings that we can set up and all this stuff, but like Lucy didn't use that, and I'm certainly not going to bring it in and set the whole thing up on a maybe when there's zero space in here. But, you know, we do have it. We've got a lot of things that we can work with and kind of reuse, even if it's a boy. I mean, we've got a lot of girl stuff, but like I said, I don't leave the house and I can't, so who cares if the kid's wearing like a pink jumpsuit for a little while. But, you know, these are all just things that I've been thinking about. I feel a lot of pressure, and I'm sure I felt some of this the first time around, because I do feel like I don't necessarily contribute as much financially as I could to the house, to the household. On the other hand, I do wind up saving us money because we don't have to send the kids to daycare, which I know is a benefit, plus the obvious, you know, emotional benefits of raising your own kids and having them with you and just kind of knowing what's up with them is very good. But, you know, there's still a part of me that just, you know, knows that I could make more money working. Hell, I could make more money working at a fast food place at this point. Which is really frustrating. And I don't really know what else to do because I don't know where else to try to write for. You know, that's the problem. I've got a great job and it's a great setup and it works really well for me as a freelancer who's also a dad taking care of his kid, soon-to-be kids. But, you know, the problem with freelancing is that it's not a steady amount of money, even though I have a steady gig, you don't always make the same amount every month. So it's hard to kind of budget and rely on that. So I don't know. It's a little frustrating to just kind of have that in the back of my mind. But, you know, like I said, I'm really excited about the new kid. And it's kind of motivating. I made up like a big checklist of all the different writing projects I've got going. Because honestly, at this point, it feels like I can maybe go up and around a little bit in the freelance world, but it really feels like I need to focus on my creative side, because that seems, at least for now, to be the most likely way that I can increase my value. And also, it would be, you know, gratifying in a different way than my current job is. So, you know, like when we found out about the new baby, a lot of stuff kind of came flooding over me. Obvious excitement, worry, financial worry, creative worry, because I know that once the kid comes along, there's going to be so much going on that it's going to be hard to focus. So I'm trying to focus now as best I can. I really need to buckle down more. I say that every time. So I guess it's kind of put up or shut up time pretty soon. I actually did this when we found out that my wife was pregnant with Lucy, and I was somewhat prolific in writing. The problem is that I wrote all this stuff and then I never really went back and read through it. So right now I'm actually trying to go back and finish up a few things that have been sitting around. I've got a screenplay that I wrote a while ago. I actually hand wrote it, and so I'm kind of typing it up now. It's like a sci-fi comedy, and I'm doing that right now, slowly but surely. I've got a new like comic project that I started on. The problem that I'm having right now is that it's really hard to think of the benefits of making comic books for me at the moment, because there's such a huge barrier between me having the idea and actually getting a comic book made, because I can't draw and I don't know any artists who want to commit to a project like this. It's hard because, you know, you don't necessarily want the artist to work for free, but I don't really have a lot of extra money to offer. So that's one problem. And then one thing that I've heard, I haven't experienced it because I've never gotten this far, but if you're not paying somebody or you're paying somebody a fairly small amount, you've got to work around their projects that are paying them. And there can be flake outs, there can be projects dropped because this person wants to go do something else. And most of the companies that you would write for, and I'm not talking about Marvel and DC, because you've basically got to have a comic book published in order to work for those guys, which means you need to go to a company like Image or Dark Horse or IDW or any of these other guys, or do it yourself 100%. The thing that bothers me about that is, like, it's essentially the same as saying to a screenwriter, in order to for us to even look at what you can do as a writer, you need to make an entire movie. And that's frustrating because it requires the comic book writer to do a lot of things that have nothing to do with his writing. It requires you to find an artist, which is a thing in and of itself. Find a letterer, inker, colorist, however you want to do it. Figure out a publishing thing. All of these things that, like, a producer or a director would do when they're usually working off of a screenplay that already exists. So it's just asking a lot of things from a writer that have nothing to do with writing, and that's frustrating to me. Because I could probably turn in 6 scripts that can show you that I can do 6 consecutive issues of something with a beginning, middle, and end in each issue, and an overarching beginning, middle, and end. But I can't, because what I need to do is have an entire thing made. It's just frustrating. I know I'm complaining. It's just something that's been on my mind lately. And the creative stuff is bubbling up more because I feel desperate to do it while I have time, even though I don't really have that much time. I don't know what else to say. I feel like I'm complaining a lot when I'm actually very excited, and that's kind of what's fueling everything else. I'm just an anxious person, so I'm always going to feel anxious about pretty much everything. But I am super excited about the new baby. I think it's going to be a girl. We haven't found out yet. I thought the same thing with Lucy. I just kind of had a feeling early on. And of course, at that point, I was like worried because I didn't really know anything about girls or girl stuff. I mean, everything that I've grown up with and done is categorized as boy stuff. Action figures, cartoons, toys. But one of the things that's happened because we do have a daughter is that I really, really, really shuffled around kind of my ideas about males and females and gender and stereotypes and all that kind of thing. I'm completely of the mind now that it doesn't matter if you're male or female. You're just going to like what you like on a basic level, and then other things can come into play, like societal pressures and societal influence. But I don't think there's like an inborn thing in girls to only like dolls and pink. You know, you can love dolls and pink and also be a huge fan of Star Wars or Ninja Turtles or whatever, and I don't care. And that's what's great about Lucy, is that we've totally just let her do whatever she wants in that realm, in that regard. And she is, you know, a big mix of everything. She loves princesses. She loves putting on sparkly dresses. But she also likes watching football with me. And she's become a big fan of the Super Mario Super Show on Netflix, of all things. And all of these things, which I think are so awesome, because I think people are a lot better off being able to explore what they want to instead of being told what they can enjoy, if that makes sense. And I want to lay that platform out for her as much as I can and let her and the new baby explore whatever they want and figure out what they like, what they want to do, without any judgment from us. Now, I mean, you can't control the rest of the world or society or their friends or teachers or friends' parents or any of that stuff. But I really do feel like if you give a kid a really solid foundation, then they can grow to be the kind of people you're hoping to set them up to be. Not that I'm like shaping her to be a certain kind of person, but just giving her the opportunity to grow into whoever she wants to be. And I think that's important. Obviously, everybody doesn't think that way, but that's what we're kind of going for. It will be interesting if we do have a boy, because even though I have, you know, some more progressive ideas right now, the old stereotypes are all still in my head. So it's going to be a matter of just kind of pushing those aside and moving on. And it's not like a huge departure for me. I mean, I remember having a couple of My Little Ponies along with all my action figures. I don't remember where they came from or why I had them, but they were there. But I was, you know, I didn't tell anybody about them because I knew on some level that that would be considered strange or weird or whatever. So it'll be interesting how I, you know, what new challenges a boy would offer as opposed to a girl. One of the reasons I'm in support of just having another girl is because we've got all the stuff. We've got all the clothes, and we're kind of good. So that's my little bit on gender, I guess. Sorry, guys, the heat just turned on. I'm not sure how loud this is going to be, so I'm going to talk a little bit closer to the mic and see if that helps. One of the other things that I've been kind of thinking about as far as how this kid will be different from when Lucy was born is that I kind of know more now, but I also know how hard and crazy things can be throughout the pregnancy, birth, and, you know, infant stages. So whereas the first kid, it's almost like I don't know anything that's going to happen. I kind of just leaned back and was like, all right, it's going to happen. We'll figure it out as we go. Let's do this. And there were challenges along the way, of course, all kinds. But for the most part, you know, we nailed it. We did it and we got through it onto the next thing. And it's just been kind of onto the next thing, on the next thing until here we are. With this second kid, it's a little different because I kind of know some of the things that might happen. But again, every pregnancy, birth, and infancy is different. So while I have the experience of an initial one, I also know that there are so many variables involved in the process that it could be completely different, and my past experience might not help me out with my future experience, if that makes any sense. So it's kind of weird. Like, it's almost like having a band with a record that you really love and you know it frontwards and backwards, and then a second record comes out and you're not quite sure if it's going to be the same or not. Like, some songs might sound the same, or they might go in a completely different direction as far as tone and song styles and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm waiting to see what the second record is going to be like. And it'll hold a lot of surprises and a lot of interesting stuff. So, I mean, we're really excited about kind of the future and what's happening. We're still really looking into the house stuff and not completely washing our hands of that other house that I mentioned, but kind of laying back. I'm trying to not be as invested in it, but I'll be honest, I still keep picturing us in that house to some extent. I'm trying not to, but that's kind of where I'm at. And I also am trying to push myself with my creative endeavors, try and get those going a little bit more, and also maybe work out a few new things as far as my current career as a freelancer goes. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm just trying to make it work and see what happens. Another thing, especially as far as work goes, is that I have no idea what it's going to be like to be taking care of two kids. Now, Em will have, I think, 2 months of maternity leave or something along those lines. So I'll have some time to get used to the situation of having two kids. And she'll be here to help out, obviously, and friends and family will be around. But after a certain point, you know, she's going to go back to work, and I'm going to have to readjust to all the old ways of doing things. Like, the diapers that Lucy used when she was a baby are different than the ones she uses now. So I'm going to be dealing with, presumably, unless Lucy decides to potty train in the next 6 months, which is possible, but she's not showing any interest at this point, is doing two different kinds of diapers throughout the day and two different feeding schedules, which will be normal. Gonna get back into bottles and stuff. Just all these things I've got to remind myself about. So I'm not really sure how it's going to be with work. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. I mean, that's, but in a good way, it's exciting, and we'll see how everything goes. I don't really have a pop-pop of the week or a pop-pop of seal of approval this week because we're just kind of cruising along and seeing how things go with the family thing. So I'm going to call it an episode. This one's a little bit short, but like I said, I was kind of excited. I wanted to put it all down and get it out there for everybody. So I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I run poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. I also have unitedmonkey.com. That's a blog where I review comic books, movies, things like that. And I actually started posting on Monkeying Around the Kitchen again last week. Every single day of last week, had a post. I'm hoping to do the same this week, but I've got to get posting, I guess. So that's monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. And I am on Twitter at Papa Deitch. That's poppadietsch. All right, gang. Have a good one.